In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Saturday to you, October 29th. Year of our Lord 2022, and we made it. we made it. The end of the regular season in high school football in the Central section was last night. Man, we started in early August, and now we're here to this point. And last night, sure, it felt like high school weather finally in the Central Valley. Man, it got down a little bit cold. I had to put on my jacket last night at the game that we covered between Clovis West and Clovis. But we had an incredible regular season, and now it's time for playoffs. And this is going to be a big show. We're going to be talking about the playoff seedings, last night's game, what went right, what went wrong. Are the playoff seedings going to be correct, right? All the controversy regarding who gets in, the system, point rankings within 2 points, all the crazy stuff that goes into the playoff seedings. We're going to be talking about that for the next 2 hours and more on the Central Valley Sports Report. This is 1430 ESPN. Thank you to First String Sports. I'm here at First String Sports. They have been incredible, incredible sponsors since day one. Come on down here. Blackstone between Bullard and Herndon. I'm in the Letterman's jacket room, so I'm surrounded by Clovis West jackets, Emmanuel, Bullard, Buchanan. I see Redwood, Sierra, Liberty, Madera, who just completed a 10-0 season. I mean, congrats to them. Another 10-0 season was completed in Central Valley Christian. And right now, the Central CIF office, they have hunkered down in a bunker in a secret location. And in a few hours, well, maybe more than a few hours, we're thinking around 3 o'clock, they're going to come out with the final seedings, the pairings. Who's going to be playing where? Who's going to be getting byes? There's even a chance that some of the divisions might not even have a full 16 teams, maybe Division II. I don't know. We're going to find out. I think the lower divisions, Divisions 4, 5, and 6, will have a full 16. Maybe not Division 6, but we do know that Division 1 will have only 12 teams. The top 4 teams will get byes. So it's a fairly complicated system if you really break it down and really crunch the numbers. So, again, the website is calpreps.com. And I actually have refreshed it a couple times this morning to see if anything has changed. And nope, the top 5 seeds are actually the same from last week, which is a little bit surprising. Clovis West, with their victory last night, 27-0 over Clovis, they held strong at number 1. Buchanan is number 2. I might as well just say the top 5 right now. I know Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be talking about it at the 11 o'clock hour, breaking this down and much, much more. But I'll give you guys the top 5, according to Cal Preps, Division 1. So Clovis West 1, Buchanan 2, Liberty Bakersfield 3, San Joaquin Memorial 4, and Central 5. So Central didn't fall that much. And the reason why I said didn't fall that much is because they lost last night to Clovis North. So where did Clovis North fall? Well, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. Going to leave a little bit of a tease there. But, yeah, Central got beat Clovis North 35-28. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, Clovis North is hot. A little bit of a shocker. Central, talk about coming in hot. They came in scorching hot after beating Clovis West 45-0 the week before. So just tons of storylines. And Division Two. Oh, wow. You're talking about Division One. How loaded. I mean, those are the top dogs, right? But Division 2 is going to be a dogfight. So, again, we're talking with Gabe at the 11 o'clock hour, and I wrote down who I'm pretty sure is going to be the rankings, but I would just want to confirm with him. I did that this morning. But I might have missed, if a team, the rule is if a team beat them head-to-head and within 2 points, they could leapfrog them. But just kind of looking at my initial list that I wrote down in pen by hand, I don't see anything right away. So, anyway, talking with Gabe at 11 o'clock. Now, talking with Kyle Biggs, the Central coach, after the break, talking to him a little bit early, talking about his loss last night, what the team needs to do to get better, whether or not he likes the playoff system. Does it work? What needs to be tweaked? You know, what was the playoff system when he was playing? We played quarterback for Clovis High, winning a Central Section Championship. What was that playoff system like? What does he prefer? And I know he's got some really good alum that have played as well. So, talking with Kyle Biggs. And then Dayton Tafoya, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, is coming on at 10:30 right after that. He had an incredible game 2 weeks ago. Well, I guess, 8 days ago against Clovis West, threw for 5 touchdowns. And so he's coming on. Again, I know that Central lost last night, and I know that's a big-time bummer for to have them come on, but they're gracious enough to still come on the show. And then at 11:30, Coach Eric Brown of the Clovis West Golden Eagles, what a turnaround he has done. I mean, just an incredible, incredible job. 9-1 on the season, 4-1 in track. I mean, he's turned that program around big time. So talking with Eric, just about the season and playoff system, and when he knew that this team was going to be competing at a high level again. So looking forward to that conversation. All right, I got about 5 minutes right now. I need to talk about some scores from last night. All right, so on Thursday there was one game of note that I need to say. Sunnyside beat Sanger West 57-14. The reason why I need to mention that is sophomore quarterback Tanner Wilson broke the Central Section record for passing yards in a regular season. So 10 games. He now has 3,459 yards and beat Trent Tompkins' record through 10 games. Now, Trent played a bunch of playoff games, so he actually ended up with over 5,000 yards in the season. But congrats to Tanner Wilson on that incredible Central Section record. All right, so last night, Edison beat Bullard 37-14. I could talk about that game and the implications for the next 10 minutes because Edison is hot. We had Yajay Vance on the show last week, and the Tigers are playing some really good football, but where are they going to land in Division II? Well, looks like at the bottom, toward the bottom of Division II, maybe a 12, 13, 14 type seed. Can you imagine Edison, how well they're playing? Battle-tested in the CMAC, being a low seed in Division II? Well, that looks like it might happen. And then on the flip side, you got Bullard. Ended up with only 3 wins on the season, 3-7. And I believe that they are not going to be in the playoffs. So the defending Division II champs will not be in this year's playoff. That's just hard to say. That's hard to come out of my mouth, but it's true. Garza beat Madera 20-6. San Joaquin Memorial beat Sanger for the CMAC championship 56-21. Both teams were 4-0 going into that game. And Memorial, a lot of people think even Memorial might be the best team in the Central Section. Well, looks like they're going to be the 4 seed. So you only have to play, you know, maybe the number 1 seed and on the road, and it looks like they'll have another road game if they win that one. So, yeah, congrats to San Joaquin Memorial Panthers for their CMAC championship. All right, East Sequoia League. Farmersville beat Corcoran 16-12. Strathmore beat Lindsay 49-20. Woodlake beat Granite Hills 44-6. In East Yosemite League action, El Diamante beat Golden West. A little bit of upset there, 14-12. Porterville beat Menachie 55-7, and Redwood in their annual game at Mineral King Bowl beat Mount Whitney 28-0. Looks like Redwood might be a Division I team. We'll talk with Gabe about that. In the Mountain League, Wampanoag beat Santa Ynez 48-12. Paso Robles beat Aurora Grande 35-14. And St. Joe's, where St. Joe's going to land in Division I, they are a scary team as well. They beat Mission Prep 49-21. North Yosemite League action, McLean beat Hoover 22-20 in triple overtime. Some of the teams that they are the teams didn't score for a couple overtimes, and McLean ended up pulling that one out. Roosevelt beat Fresno 33-12. Roosevelt is going to be in the playoffs. That is the little big game. So congrats to the Rough Riders and Coach Dwayne Wright on that one. Torres beat Madera South 29-20 in Northwest Yosemite League action. Carruthers, good ball club down there, 42-21 over Fowler. Liberty Madera, we talked about their perfect 10-0 season. They are going to be the number one seed in their division. They beat Chowchilla 57-7. In South Sequoia League action, one game there that of note, Wasco beat Shafter 41-35. Garces beat Stockdale 38-0. They're a Division I team. Bakersfield Christian beat Independence 35-14. Where's Bakersfield Christian going to land? Well, we'll find out. Division II, but where exactly? Talk about that later. And in Tri-County Kings Canyon action, Kingsburg beat Selma 76-22. Yes, that's not a misprint. I believe the game was actually 61-6 at halftime. I got the box score, and yeah, Kingsbury pretty much scored on their first two or three plays of every possession they had. Washington Union shut out Kerman 14-0. Exeter beat Reedley 17-14, and Hanford West beat Sierra Pacific 18-0. In the Tri-River League action, the track, Buchanan beat Clovis East 69-27. They really, really poured it on late. Clovis North, we talked about, beat Central in a shocker to me. However, probably not a shocker to Clovis North because they've been playing some really good football, 35-28. And then the game that we had, Clovis West beat Clovis 27-0. A few storylines in that. Clovis West won their first track championship in the last 10 years. They haven't won a Central Section championship since 2010. So we'll see where the Golden Eagles, how they fare in the playoffs. Talking with Eric Brown at 11:30. Ryan Markarian, a couple touchdown passes. However, unfortunately, he was ejected from the game. We broadcast that game, and he got two personal foul calls. So what that means is, he was gone for the rest of the game, and it looks like he's going to have to sit for their first playoff game. So luckily they have one of the top backup quarterbacks. I'm going to say the top backup quarterback in the Central Section, Tyler Patrick. So he's going to get a playoff start. All right, and Central Valley Christian beat Emmanuel 50-7. Lemoore beat Hanford 42-15. Huge win for Lemoore. Hanford now is most likely going to be in Division II. Looks like probably a 4 seed. Congrats to Lemoore on a great season. All right, coming back after the break, we'll be talking with Coach Kyle Biggs about last night's game, playoff system, and much, much more on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. You found the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Yeah, I feel like I really had to rush through all those scores and a few scenarios in that in my opener. But we're going to be definitely talking about this throughout the show, talking about the playoff seedings. Again, I'm refreshing it to see if any points change or not. But we will know for sure on all the playoff seedings, because that's official when CIF comes out with their brackets around 3 o'clock. So I know a lot of coaches and parents and players will be checking that out and checking Twitter to see when those actually populate and come out. So we have Coach Kyle Biggs, a Central High coach, 3-time Central Section champion, state champ in 2019, on right now. So I know last night's loss was hard, but Kyle, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks, Kyle.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
So last night against Clovis North, you knew they came in hot. They came in beating Buchanan. Their running game is really clicking right now. Their offensive line is doing a really good job. So, what went right for you guys and what went wrong in last night's game?
Clovis North came out on fire, and they really owned the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and they pretty much controlled the whole first half. And we finally got going there in the second half. But Clovis North, they did what they had to do, man. They got some stops in the red zone, and they converted on some third downs, and they matched us touchdown for touchdown. And, they made one more play than we did, it seemed, all night long. So hats off to them. They did a great job. And we got to go back, and I think we got a little complacent with last week's game, and got a little high on our horse, and we got knocked off that horse last night, got a little humbled, and hopefully it's going to make us hungry to go out in the playoffs and make sure that doesn't happen again.
We were following that game while broadcasting the Clovis West and Clovis game, and you know, we saw you were down 14-0 and then came back 14-14, and I thought, well, they're going to start rolling right now, and then tied 28, and then under a minute left to play, Clovis North scored that last touchdown and make it a 35-28 final. But going back to those last two games that you guys played, and the second half of Buchanan, some things started to click, and then you went up 56-0 against Clovis East in a running clock in the second half, and then that game that sent waves throughout the Central Section with the 45-0 home win against Clovis West. So in those games, just thinking about what went right in those games, what finally clicked for your team in those games?
I mean, it just comes down to doing our job and having good practices and being dialed in. The East and West weeks, we had two really good weeks of practice where kids were dialed in, they were focused. You know, they're doing little things right. And this last week, I don't want to say we had a bad week. I thought it was a good week of practice. We just didn't come out with the same energy that Close North did. And we kind of, you know, we just expected to go out there and things were going to be the same, and they weren't. And we were kind of shell-shocked at first, and next thing you know, it's 14-0. And then at halftime, we had to figure some stuff out. And the kids competed. They didn't quit. They fought. We fitted up some holes wrong versus Clovis North. They're a tough matchup for us, a lot like Clovis East was. What was that, like 2018 when they had the Hunt kid at running back and he had over 300 yards rushing? Just, you know, some nights your kids aren't winning their individual battles and we're fitting wrong. And Clovis North had a great game plan. And, you know, it's you got to fight and you got to compete. And we just didn't make enough plays.
You've been coaching high school for a while now, and obviously you played the game as well. But as a coach now, do you think there's such a thing as a good loss?
There can be. I mean, obviously there's no good losses in the playoffs, but during the season, yeah. I mean, sometimes it's better to lose during the early preseason or even late in the season, kind of a wake-up call. To kind of make you get your stuff together and get on your P's and Q's so it doesn't happen again.
And what about this playoff system? So, you know, us talking heads on the radio and on Twitter, we love to talk about the playoffs. We've been talking about it for a couple months and, you know, just the intricacies of it and what goes into it. And so it looks like right now there wasn't a lot of movement in the top five. And it looks like Clovis West is going to be one, Buchanan two, Liberty 3, San Joaquin Memorial 4, and you guys 5. So with this playoff system and with the points and within 2 points and you beat them head-to-head and, you know, no human element, what is your opinion about the playoff system right now that's been implicated by the Central Section?
Well, I mean, to me it seems a much like the old BCS system where the coaches and the ADs and the, you know, the people who are in the know don't have a lot of say. And you just go off the computer rankings and they say, oh, whatever those are, that's what we go with and that's what we're doing. And, you know, there's a reason the BCS is non-existent now. So I think we're a little behind the times. You know, last year we were behind the times with placing every team wherever they fell. You know, so some teams were playing 3 or 4 divisions up and that wasn't right. And now this year we're figuring out this has probably been the craziest year in Division I for sure, with everyone just beating everybody. And you have to have some sort of human element in there for the ranking purpose or the seeding purposes, just to make sure it's right. Like you just can't go off the computer and hope it works out.
So would there be a committee? Should a representative of the athletic directors be involved, or what do you think the best solution would be for that?
Yeah, you know, they should. Definitely someone involved. You know, football has its own advisory committee. Football has its own, AD who's in charge. Like someone who's in the know should be, you know, just some sort of human element just to say like, hey, there's no way this team should be ahead of this team. And, you know, I was in conversation with Gabe and Gabe, he was jumping teams because so-and-so beat so-and-so. But then there's a team in the middle who's getting jumped, who has a higher rating, but just because that other team beat that other team, they bump down. It's like, well, now that team's getting, you know, the wrong end of the stick there because they didn't go head to head with that other team, so they shouldn't be ranked ahead of them. So it's how do you figure that out, and really, if we would have won last night, I mean, I would think you would definitely need some sort of human element because you'd have all the top three teams on the track beating each other.
Yeah,
Clovis North saved everyone from that because they won. So now they have the argument because now we're ranked ahead of them and they're ranked below us.
Yeah,
and it's just but we have the same argument because we're ranked below Clovis West, but we beat Clovis West. So it's like one of those things like you just can't like the head-to-head matchups. It kind of that can't be the tiebreaker for the point system.
Yeah,
I mean I will say that Clovis North with what they're doing. I mean, it's hard to see them as a 7 seed. And I don't know much about St. Joe's. I know they're a good football team, but I mean, you just got to look at the competition of teams, and that's one thing that's not taken into account is strength of schedule. And teams are, I feel like, are being punished for having a tougher strength of schedule. And that's not right, because now you're going to get teams trying to schedule, you know, if strength of schedule doesn't mean anything, then they're going to start scheduling, you know, lower tier division teams just to get wins, just to booster their points for the ratings, for the seedings.
Yeah, and the Cal Preps website has strength of schedule for each of the teams. So if we just look at that really quick, your strength of schedule is really high. It's 32.8 compared to, let's say, San Joaquin Memorial at 18.1, who's ahead of you, Liberty at 20.9, and Buchanan 28.7, and there's Clovis West at 23.6. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about that. It's there's no perfect system at all with this. So, Coach, when back in your playing days, do you remember what the playoff system was like? I mean, was it they have division, all the divisions back then?
No, it was large school and small school. And I remember losing to Clovis West on the last night of the regular season, and we honestly went into film on Saturday and did not know if we were going to be in the playoffs.
Wow.
So we had that anxiety, and then we found out we were a 10 seed and we were in, and it was euphoria, man. We were so pumped up and so excited and just happy to be in, because we were 6-4. And we just didn't know if we were going to be in it or not. And then we ended up winning the whole thing.
You won the whole darn thing. And that that incredible game, man, that we rehashed a little bit on the show. But, yeah, what was that feeling like when you won for Clovis High and that Central Section is playing quarterback?
It was more relief, man, because we lost it my junior year. And that kind of hurt because we were the higher seed. And, you know, we took the mentality. It was a 10 seed. We were going to be road warriors. You know, we wore white at practice. We hit everything, you know, by the book to engage in that mentality that we were just going to go on the road. It was us against the world, and we were going to do what we had to do to win every game, and we did that.
Did you get a ring? Like, what did they give you back then? Did you get a championship ring?
Yeah, we got a ring. They look like a class ring compared to what the ring nowadays.
I know, that's crazy. So even in I coached Eddie Manuel, and we won this Valley Championship in baseball, and we didn't even get a ring. I think we just got a shirt, you know, a division, whatever. Well, that was when it was Sierra Division, three divisions, so it said like Sierra Division Championships. But where are your Central Grizzlies Championship rings? Where do you keep those?
I have a little, my wife bought me a nice little, I don't even know what they're called, a little ring box or something. And it's got my name on it, and it's just, they just sitting there. I don't wear them very often, but they're in there.
So we got a couple minutes. I got to know about Xavier Worthy a little bit from your perspective. Just were you surprised? I know you saw him for, you know, his whole time in high school, and you saw what he can do in practice and in games. But were you a little surprised how successful of a season he had last year as a true freshman for University of Texas and freshman All-American, and then this year it looks like he's continuing the upward trend? So, you know, talk about that, dude. Are you surprised by how successful he's been?
No, not at all. Not at all. He was you know, a little light in the frame when he left high school. So that was my main concern, was he going to be able to stay healthy? And he's done that. He's put on some weight. But the kid's got skills, man. He's fast, really fast. And he doesn't surprise me one bit, man. The kid's a phenomenal athlete. He's got great work ethic. He wants to be the best. And he's a dude, man. Just get that kid the ball, and he'll make you look really smart.
Speaking of another dude, really quick, Jalen Johnson. You coach him as well. Chicago Bears tearing it up, man. They just don't throw to that guy right now. Do you got any Jalen Johnson stories that you can share?
You know, we used to – his senior year, you know, when I first met him, I was like, all right, man, hey, you'd be a great slot receiver. You're so big, you could block linebackers. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, yeah, man, for the first five games, we'll do nothing but have you block. And then when we get to league, we'll start throwing you the ball, and, you know, teams will be surprised. That was kind of, you know, a joke, just to kind of, you know, get to know each other and loosen up a little bit. And we had a great relationship. And, you know, I told him, hey, when you're ready on offense, you just come let me know. And, you know, when he was ready, we had the cheetah package, we called it. And he would just tap me on the shoulder, and as soon as he tapped me, I just start yelling Cheetah and get him in the game. And we were really dynamic with him in offense. And you know, he's the hardest working kid I've ever coached. He was a senior in high school, but he was a 21, 22, 23 year old mentality kid. Like, he knew what his job was, he knew what business was, he knew how to take care of it. You know, he was taking care of his body. Just football IQ was off the charts, and he was just really, really fun to coach. And you know, I say this all the time, it doesn't matter who that kid's high school coach was. You know, my sister could have been his coach. That kid's still going to the University of Utah, still going to be a 3-year starter, still going to the NFL. That's just his mindset and his mentality.
Talking with Central coach Kyle Biggs, we got one more question, got about another minute here. The Central Grizzlies will win their fourth D1 Central Section championship if?
We got to get back to playing upset and playing angry. You know, we did that a couple weeks ago. We did it 2 weeks in a row, and then we got complacent. And we got to be consistent. And that's been our theme all year. We haven't been very consistent. But if we get consistent and we play like we had the last 2 weeks, and even like we played the second half last night, I like our chances to win a valley championship.
All right. Thanks, Coach Biggs. Coach Kyle Biggs, Central Grizzlies. Really appreciate you taking the time this morning to talk.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Paul.
You bet. All right. Coming up after the break, we got Dayton Tafoya, the quarterback for Central. He is our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Had an incredible game in that 45-0 win against Clovis West. Talking about his game and his season and his future on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. You found the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN here at First String Sports. I am your host, Paul Medders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Medders, PaulMeadors. Really appreciate Coach Kyle Biggs coming on last segment. He's always great to talk to. And, you know, last night didn't go their way in the 35-28 loss to Clovis North. I mean, Central's rolling, but that's football, man. That's sports. That's high school football, especially. You know, it's sometimes you never know what you're going to get. But you know, really appreciate Coach Kyle Biggs coming on, and we got another Central guy, Dayton Tafoya, who I've known for a while. He's a Central quarterback. A couple weeks ago, he had a phenomenal game that we covered on 1430 ESPN. I was witness to it, man. I was up in the press box there at Central, and you know, they came out and just really put it on Clovis West, and we know what Clovis West did, and they are the number one seed. But I mean, so what does that say? That says that Central can be anybody in the Central section, and it's about confidence. So Dayton had an incredible game that night, threw for what ended up being 290 yards.
Yep.
290 and 5 touchdowns. Before last night, he had a 30-4 touchdown to interception ratio at 2,484 yards. I think we can add about 370 yards to that from last night. Grizzlies are 6-4. You know, and Dayton, well, first of all, thanks for coming on, man.
Yep, happy to be here.
Yeah, I know it's always hard, again, coming after a loss. Your body's a little bit sore, and you know, it's sometimes tough to get up in the morning the next day, but really appreciate you coming on. So last night's game, right, Clovis North, they came to play, and they're hot. You know, they beat Buchanan, and, you know, you were running around a little bit last night, and they made it really tough. So what – let's talk about Clovis North a little bit. You got to give them some respect. You know, what did they do to beat you guys last night, even though it was only one touchdown game?
They were dogs, man. They came out with that fire and that heart, and they really just took over the whole game, if I'm being honest. In the first half, they came out and ran the ball right down on us, and we couldn't respond. And once the second half came, we started to wake up, and we got that wake-up call like Biggs referred it to. And we came out and were scoring, trying to get stops, but they just made one more play than we did, like Big said.
So coming out, you know, you beat Clovis East in that huge win. You only played in the first half. Then they talk about that Clovis West game. And then, you know, last night you guys find yourself down 14-0 early. Like, is it a little bit of like, oh, shoot, you know, we're down. You know, Clovis North has really come out to play. You know what? You know, what's the mentality during that time? You're like, guys, we just got to grind this out. Come on, stay focused on the next play.
Yeah, that's very important to me as well, because I'm playing quarterback and I'm the main leader on the offense. So I really take it as, if we don't score this drive, all right, flip the page, bring back that same fire you came with the very first drive of the game. And so I try to keep my composure the best I can for everyone else, keep my receivers high, keep my O-line tempo high and fast. So, yeah.
So you ended up throwing 3 touchdowns in that game. You know, let's go back to your great game against Clovis West. And, you know, I think people know out there that you were once at Clovis West and you transferred to Central. And, you know, it's probably a game that you had circled, you know, on the calendar your senior year, been against a lot of guys that you know. And just that was just a game that everything clicked, right? You know, when you guys are rolling like that and the offense is clicking, you know, whatever play call is coming through, that you're like, oh, this is going to be a touchdown. It's going to be a touchdown. What's that feeling like, especially in that game against Clovis West?
It's good. Just coming out from the start of that game, we were hyped. Me personally, I was ready for that game. I knew everyone that was starting on the defense, starting on the offense, so I knew a lot of the guys' tendencies and where I can hit them to score. And so, yeah.
Well, and you got some good receivers.
Definitely.
Dudes that you can throw to.
I definitely have guys that can make plays, like LaDainian Streets, Noel Felix, Daylon Scott, and Braylon. And my O-line also played a great game that night. I had a lot of time to make plays, and without them, I wouldn't have the outcome that I had.
And Clovis West, D-line, really played well against Clovis last night. And, yeah, your offensive line did a great job. You know, you didn't – I don't think you hit the turf once. Maybe you got sacked maybe once, but, yeah, the O-line did a great job in that game. You know, what's the culture like at Central that you love about it, right? So you're a senior. Like you said, you're the – basically – are you the – you're one of the captains?
Yeah.
You're one of the captains on the team. Senior, you're the quarterback of a high profile team, but the culture of Central, what do you love about the culture of Central football?
The competitiveness. It's everyone. There's a lot of competing going on at practice every day. There's a lot of trash talk on each other, this, and there's a lot of stuff that we have to prove every day, and that's what's so fun about it.
You trash talk a little bit?
Oh, of course. Of course. During practice, I always talk crap to Shondrick Smallwood all practice. It's just fun. It just brings out a lot of that dog in people. When you start talking and then they talk back and you just go at it on team.
You feel that fuels you.
Definitely.
How about in games? If somebody triggers you a little bit, you're like, okay, man, now it's on.
Yeah, like I'm the type of person to where I'll play my game, I won't say anything, but then once someone says one thing, and it happens a lot. Like it happened last night. Last night I had ran over to Clovis North sideline, and all I needed to hear was one thing. And one of the kids was like, oh, yeah, you can't hold us, this, and this. And that's really what got it sparked for me.
Yeah, yeah. Where does that come from? Is it your family? Like, is that always been built within you? Like, a little chip on your shoulder here and there, you know, when something, you know, something inside of you?
Yeah, of course. There's always that thing where, I don't know, like, that's my thing. Like, if something's said to me, like, in a disrespectful way, like, I'm always like, oh, okay. It's time to go.
It's on. Talking to Dayton Tafoya, quarterback at Central High. What's your favorite play call, right? Something in a huddle or, you know, I know you look to the sidelines a lot. You know, maybe there's a little bit of change. Maybe see coaches see something in the defense that you can exploit a little bit. But when you hear that play call, you're like, oh, yeah, this play is my jam right here.
No, when we throw streaks, that is my favorite play. When Biggs tells me, take a 3-step drop and throw it up to Noah or LaDainian, that's my favorite play.
Yeah.
Because I know my guys will go up and get it, and that just gets everyone pumped up. And so we get our drive going, we get our tempo up, our confidence is built up again, and we just get rolling.
And it makes you look good, right? When those guys
just throw it up in a
certain range. Mm-hmm. Like, your dudes are going to go up and get it.
Yeah.
All right, so talking about your team, you know, you talk about a little bit of smack talk here and there. And, well, you mentioned that kid Smallwood, right? That's his name?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not a kid, right?
No.
His last name is Smallwood.
Yeah, Shondrick Smallwood.
How big is that dude?
6'1", 300.
He's 300, huh?
Mm-hmm. That's my guy, man.
All right, so who on the team, who's got – let's start with the worst taste in music. Like somebody, you're with somebody, or maybe they're in charge of music somewhere, and they put something on, and you're like, bro, no. No. Who's got the worst taste in music on the team?
I don't know. It's a hard question because at Central, like our whole football team, we all listen to the same people. We all listen to all the Stockton rappers and the Bay Area dudes. But I don't know. If I had to make a guess on somebody, it would be Daylon Scott because he listens to Lil Yachty. And who listens to Lil Yachty in 2022?
I thought you were going to say something like oldies. Maybe listen to
some
oldies.
No, I respect
guys.
The oldies. I love the oldies.
Okay.
So it's good. Everyone likes the oldies. Like at practice, earlier in the season, we had the speaker all the time at practice. And we'd always play the old music. All the coaches would get moving to it. All the players start singing all the oldies. So, yeah.
All right. So you guys all got the best taste in music. So you guys are pretty much on point with your music. You guys are in sync, so
yeah,
to speak.
There's never like a flat day with music.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I got you. All right. So, you know, Coach Kyle Biggs, right? He played quarterback. We talked a little bit about his playing days back at Clovis High. You know, your relationship with him, I know, you know, when you play a position and you coach a dude that played in the same position, they're going to be hard on you. They're going to be hard on you. But I think you like that kind of coaching, right? You like the tough style. You know, you like somebody bringing out the best in you. So what's your relationship with, like, with Coach Biggs as far as him sharpening you into the person, the player that you are?
Ever since I started football in second grade, that's always been my dad. My dad has always been that person to stay on me, just like Biggs is right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like my dad really prepared me for high school coaches and college coaches by being on me just like Biggs is right now. So I feel like you said, it really does fire me up and it brings out the best in me.
Are there any players out there? You know, you talked about Clovis West. You knew their entire defensive line. Are there some players out there? That you really respect? Because I feel like in the track, you know, now with 7-on-7 and the way summer programs work, and I know you're a baseball guy as well, you know all the dudes out there that you're playing, especially right. in the track, right, especially the local guys. But are there some guys that you, like, you know, I hate competing against you, but I really, really respect you?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton. You want me to name a couple?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Mandel is definitely one of them. That's my guy, and we trained, and we've known each other for a very long time. So we know that competitive edge on both of you, like on both of us.
Jaden Mandel from Buchanan.
Yes. And then Deshaun Watts from Clovis West, the D-lineman. Logan Stewart as well. Rocky Coombs from Clovis East.
Yeah, he's a player.
Yeah, definitely. He's a dog. And Riley Ham. Riley Ham is a dog from Clovis North, D-lineman. And McKay Mattson as well. I have a lot of respect for him. For him, for how young he is and how mature he is for his age, he's a dog.
And he plays hard.
Definitely.
Right? He runs
very
hard.
Very hard running back, very all-around good player.
He's talented. He's probably going to be one of the next big D1 type recruits coming out of the Central section. You know, a lot of talk about playoff system, and, you know, we talk about that. Coaches talk about that. But I want to get a player's perspective. Do you even care, like, seedings-wise? Are you just like, oh, are those teams are in the playoffs? Okay, cool. We might play them? All right, cool. When it comes to if we play them, then we're going to be ready for them. Do you even, like, follow it? Do you even care? Just like, hey, man, I'm just going to play whoever they tell us to play.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing because it's always like that. All the coaches are all worried about the rankings. You go, oh, we're ranked this, this, and this. Like, no, I don't care. Like, I really don't. Like, just line the team up, get me prepared for that game, and let's go.
What do you talk about your drive a lot. So what motivates you the most? So check this out. Do you hate to lose or the joy of winning? What do you like better? You know what I mean? What fuels you the most? The joy of winning or that you hate to lose?
I'd say it's 50-50. It's hard. It depends on the day and the game, I feel like, because, you know, everyone loves to win, and that's a really big confidence builder for especially a quarterback. But then again, when you have a good loss or a loss to begin with, it always humbles you, and it makes you hungry for next week to prove all the people that are down you just from that one loss.
Yeah, I know. That's tough, right? Like,
yeah.
Hating to lose, man, that drives a lot of people. You know about, like, Michael Jordan, right? The joy of winning, obviously, you know, see him celebrate and, you know, smoking the cigars and all that stuff. But the fear of losing drives a lot of people as well,
yeah.
A lot of high-level athletes.
Uh-huh.
I want to ask you about your left arm. So when I got to talk to you a little bit before the Clovis West game, that was a lot of fun. You're doing your little solo warm-ups and running a little bit on the sidelines, and then, you know, you got a tattoo on your left arm. So can you describe what that looks like and what that means to you?
Yeah, so this is my Samoan and Filipino tribal. So this whole side right here just represents the Filipino togetherness. So, like, I have my weave right here, which represents family. And then I have my turtle shell right here, which represents togetherness and humbleness. And then on my other side, I have all the Samoan weapons and Samoan animals as well. So I have my seagulls right here, which is unity. And then all right here is all Filipino weapons of defense.
Wow. All right. So it's near your wrist and goes maybe about halfway up your forearm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after season, Christmas break, I'm going to finish it.
You're going to finish? Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
There's more. After Christmas?
Yeah.
After the season?
If mom lets me finish it, I'm going to finish it. Dad's fine with it because dad's all tatted up. So it's up to mom.
All right. Up to mom. All right. So Did mom give you the go-ahead on that, or is that a little secretive, you and dad, like, hey, it's time, bro?
I don't know. It's always been a thing. Like, all since I got into high school, it's been a, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a tribal tattoo, this, this, and this. And then, I don't know. We were in Pismo right after season last year, and it was me, my mom, and my dad in the hotel room. And then me and my dad were talking about it, and then my mom just got on board, and then we made the appointment right there and then.
All right. Well, speaking of mom, looks like Central High has a tradition. Right? Is it maybe like a senior practice?
She's already laughing.
She's already laughing over there. She's here at First Street Sports. She knows where this is going.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw the video. Once it's out there in public, it's for public consumption, right? Mm-hmm. It's fair game. So mm-hmm. there's a video where you're sitting in front of a landing pad or mm-hmm. whatever, right? And the moms get to take a shot at their sons, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe about a 10-yard run. You guys are standing still. And they get to try to knock you down.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I saw a video. You know, some of the moms are getting after it. Nice form tackle. I'm just going to let you take it there. What did your mom do?
Oh, my gosh. When I saw her lineup, I just saw how excited she was to just lay me out, man. She was ready. We got to work on her tackling form, though.
But what was it more of a – it wasn't a tackle, right? What do you call it? A jump?
She jumped on me, yes.
The flying Samoan?
Biggs calls it the flying squirrel.
Oh, flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but all the moms, they came out and they laid the wood, man.
I saw
it
a few of
them.
It was
very surprising. Like, one of my center, Dominic Caston, on his sister, his mom couldn't make the hit due to her. She had an injury or whatever. So his sister came out. She laid the hardest hit.
Oh, yeah?
Like, knocked him down.
And then you guys gave him the business, right?
Oh, after yeah.
That.
We were all on him after that.
I know some of the toughest things that I've seen are powder puff girls tackle football games. Mm-hmm. Those, yeah, they get after
intense.
It. They get after mm-hmm. it. But your mom got the flying squirrel on you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's out there. That's,
it was a hit, though. It did hit. It did hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
It did hurt.
That's awesome. That's a good memory.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the future with you. So, you know, you most likely are going to play at the next level, right? That's always been a goal for you.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. Mm-hmm. You got some offers out there? You got some interest?
I have one offer right now from Lewis and Clark up in Oregon. And interest right now, I have Hawaii and Valparaiso.
That'd be great. Yeah. That'd be great. So
Hawaii is really somewhere where if they were to offer me, I'd definitely consider going there.
All right.
Right off the spot.
Hawaii, that's not a bad place to be.
No, not at all.
Huh? You think mom and dad would come visit you every once in a while?
Oh, they already told me. It's over.
It's over. It's over. And I know their program is in a little bit of transition.
Right.
Right? Tommy Chang's their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember watching him play. He was a great quarterback, too. So, yeah, if you could, you know, play for a program, you know, that's a program that's on the up and up and has got an up and coming coach, but that'd be great for you. All right, a couple more questions. You're Dayton Tafoya. Let's go back to Central, and you know, coming off of that loss, looks like you guys are going to be the 5 seed. I asked Coach Kyle Biggs this question: Central will win a Central Section Division I championship if what comes together?
If we are like last year's playoffs. Last year we were hungry. We were ready to prove everyone wrong because, I don't know, what seed were we last year? I don't remember.
I think you were 2 or 3. Well, you played Memorial at Memorial,
yeah,
so I believe you were 3.
Okay, so yeah, just like that, like playing away, playing against Memorial, like it's a different kind of fire. And that's really what me and a lot of the leaders of the football team have to do this week, bring a different kind of fire to practice and stay on everyone and can't lack at all. So we have to bring – that consistency that we've been lacking on and hitting and missing on all week, because from here on out, it's win or go home, turn your gear in or not. So, yeah, that's very important to me, especially because it's my senior year. And so I don't want to leave this as one game now. I want to take it as far as we can. I feel like our team has the potential to do that.
And leave it all on the field, right?
Yes.
That's all you ask. Just give it your best shot. So it looks like you guys are going to be the 5 seed. Redwood might be the 12th seed. You guys would have a home game. You don't have a bye. The top 4 teams get a bye. So looking right now like you guys would have a home game against Redwoods unless something changes. We're talking with Gabe Camarillo after the break about the scenarios in Division I, Division II, and beyond. But Dayton Tafoya, really enjoyed watching you the last few years, getting to know you and your family. You've always been a very well-spoken young man. And, you know, I've watched you mature on the field and off the field as well. So, you know, I'll probably run into you before then, but if I don't, good luck the rest of the way. It's been
Thank
a pleasure.
You. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, Dayton Tafoya Central High School, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Coming up after the break, we're going to have about 20 minutes with Gabe Camarillo. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters. You can go to our 1430 ESPN Fresno website, download any episode that you missed. Just go to the podcast tabs and find Central Valley Sports Report. I've had some, there's been some really good guests on the show. I've had a couple hour long, well, actually, they end up being like 40-something minutes, 46 minutes without the commercials. You have McKay Christensen, Clovis West football legend, baseball legend, drafted number 6 overall. Efren Gazar, who we know from Kerman, who's battling ALS right now, his story of walking on to Fresno State. Those are just really, really raw type interviews, the types of interviews that I love. And you know, if you guys have been listening to me for a while, you know, I love the stats. I love to talk about rankings and games and all those things. But I always like to get to fun stuff and the heart of the matter as far as sports and athletics and what drives people. And, yeah, that's I come from that type of background, so I really enjoy that stuff, and I hope you guys do too. Speaking of rankings and games, I'm bringing in my guy Gabe Camarillo, who's producing the show. You can listen to him on Home Field Advantage Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5 here on 1430 ESPN. Does an incredible job, and I was on his show last week, and he comes on my show every week and talking about all the good stuff that happens up and down the Central section, especially with high school football. And Gabe, we are finally here. We've been talking about high school football for the last 2 months. We text each other almost daily about this stuff. We talk all the time, and we are finally here. The playoffs are going to happen next week. The regular season just ended yesterday. I mean, do you get as hyped as I am for this stuff? I mean, I can't imagine, you know, if we're this hyped, how the players and coaches feel.
Yeah, I'm really excited because this is a whole new season now, and every student athlete, right, every high school football player at the beginning of every August has one goal in mind. That's to win a Central Section title, and today several teams will find out where they will start their journey to do just that.
Yeah, and the CIF right now and Commissioner Ryan Toss and the gang are busy seeing if there's any type of discrepancies in Cal Preps and seeing if they miss anything, but we anticipate the brackets will be coming around 3 o'clock for all the divisions, and we'll be sure to be tweeting about that. And who knows, Gabe, I'm going to be going home after this and got my afternoon free. Maybe I can jump on Twitter Spaces and chat about it a little bit more. But last night, right, a lot of games that we, you know, were kept our eye on, and you know, the Clovis West and Clovis game that we covered last night. A lot of questions about whether Clovis West was going to come out with some fire, right? We come off that loss against Central. They lost 45-0. You know, we were very curious about that. And we know all the implications between Clovis West and Clovis. We know their history. It's always the last game of the year, the pageantry. You know, there was just a lot of stuff going on last night with the feeder programs, the cheerleaders, the Hall of Fame dinner, all kinds of great stuff going on last night. But you know, Clovis West really dominated, especially defense. Did that game surprise you a little bit? I felt like it pretty much went as I thought.
Yeah, it went as you thought. And unfortunately for me, I owe you Starbucks because we put Starbucks on this game, right, Paul? On Thursday on my show, you said you got Clovis West. I had Clovis High. Listen, Clovis West's defense dominated last night. And this is the defense that we saw for the first half of the season and also against Buchanan. So I know that 45-0 game that lost to Central, that's not like Clovis West. That was an uncharacteristic loss. A lot of people after that game were saying Clovis West maybe take a step back. I think now they've earned back some respect from a lot of those people because they shut out a red-hot Clovis High football team. Going into this game, Clovis High was in every single game except against Long Beach Poly, but they were never in this win against Clovis West because you had a mix of dominant defense, along with some fantastic offense, Ryan Markarian, for the first three quarters, he was superb as he typically has been. And you add it up, it's another Clovis West victory and their first track title in 12 years.
Well, we talk about how tough it is to go undefeated in a season, and, you know, especially at the higher levels. And, you know, Clovis West, if, you know, going back to last week, I said a few times, hey, if you would have told the Clovis West coaching staff at that point, even after the loss to Central, that they were 8-1 and 3-1 at the track at that point, would they take it? They would have said absolutely yes. So, I, you know, they wrapped up a really good regular season. They're going to have a bye week before they hit the Division I playoffs. We'll be talking with Coach Eric Brown after our segment. So we'll hear a little bit more about Clovis West and how they were able to right the ship after last week's game. So San Joaquin Memorial and Sanger, you know, both teams came in at 4-0. It was for the CMAC championship, and we know the blowout games that San Joaquin Memorial has had before this, and you know, against Madera and Justin Garza. You know, Brandon Ramirez, just at one point he had 10 carries for 341 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, just an incredible
run. Is that good? Is that good?
Yeah, you think 34.1 yards per carry on 10 carries. That's pretty incredible. But hey, those guys keep putting up points. We talk about how hot Sanger was, and they righted their ship. But, you know, 56 points against Sanger. Very, very impressive. They might be the hottest team going in. I know Clovis West, you know, is pretty hot. But, man, those Panthers are scary.
And the incredible thing is that a lot of those points came in the last three quarters, because I was watching the first quarter, and Memorial actually struggled a little bit. They were pushed against their own goal line defensively twice by Sanger. But give Memorial's defense credit. They bent but did not break. There was a crazy sequence of events early in that game where Sanger went forward on fourth and goal, didn't get it. Then SGM fumbled, and then Sanger punched it in for a one-yard score. And it looked like this might be Sanger's night, because Sanger played better football for the first quarter and a half. But then Memorial just flipped the switch, and they were gone, and they were off to the races. And this is the Memorial team that I think we expected earlier this season. And they've been kind of coasting a little bit. I mean, you can't blame them, because the CMAC really isn't tough competition for them. They've battled against the best. They face Buchanan. They face Central. They're a well-oiled machine. This is the SJM team that a lot of people have been expecting to see for a long time. I'm on the record saying that this is the best SJM team in the last 20 or so years. Even better, I say, Paul, than 2018, when they had Josh Kelly, Mac Delena, Alex Trujillo. And I only say that because that team never faced Buchanan and Central. This team has. They beat Central, and they should have beaten Buchanan.
Well, and it's we need to remind ourselves, too, that it wasn't that long ago that San Joaquin Memorial is competing Division II, Division III, even in the last few years. I think it was last year was their first year in Division I. And so, you know, they got that home loss last year to Central. I think they really realized what they needed to do to take the next step. Yeah, and their roster is really, really loaded this year. I want to also talk about that Lemoore and Hanford game, right? We kept going back and forth. Who's going to win this one? Well, Hanford, you know, they're high-powered offense, and Lemoore just kept putting up points. Points. I'm talking about all season. Points. More points. And they had that one loss to Clovis West, who's the number one team in Division One. But yeah, are you surprised by that score?
Yes. Yes, definitely. If you ask me what was the most surprising result from last night, it's not Clovis North beating Central, because even I could see that coming a little bit, the way Clovis North played against Buchanan. I could not see Lemoore blowing out Hanford. I thought that was going to be a very close competitive game, but watching some of the highlights on ABC 30 last night, that RPO offense that Lemoore runs is fantastic. I mean, this is a very, very good offense, and it requires a lot from quarterback Ty Chambers, but he's the type of senior leader that can make the right decision 99.9% of the time. With an RPO offense, you have three choices: either hand the ball off, throw it, or run it yourself. And it seemed like last night Ty Chambers made the right choice every single time. It added up to over 40 points for the Tigers, and they blew out Hanford. And that means that Lemoore definitely deserves to be in that D2 title contender conversation with Kingsburg and Central Valley Christian.
Absolutely. And I know you were at, and we talked a lot. We talked with Coach Kyle Biggs and Dayton Tafoya. So we rehashed this a lot. But from your perspective, I think you were at that game for the first half between Clovis North and Central. What did you see? You know, it just sounds like Clovis North is just rolling. They really imposed their will.
Yeah, the three running backs that Clovis North has, Jackson Sinfell, McKay Madsen, Andrew Chavez, put him up against any running back trio in the Valley, and I think they might have the advantage because Jackson Senfell, he had a 64-yard touchdown and a 93-yard touchdown. Andrew Chavez had a big touchdown run, and McKay Mattson scored the game winner. So all three of them had their own little footprint on this win. The defense also made big plays, two key interceptions by the Broncos defense at big moments. In the 35-28 ball game, any one of those moments could have swung Central's way, but give Clovis North credit. And let me say this, Paul. 2 years ago, this is a Clovis North team that lost by 70, or actually they lost 69-0 2 years ago during the COVID season. Fast forward to today, and this is a great coaching job by Michael Jacot. The fact that he turned this team from losing 69-0 at Collegian Stadium to beating the Grizzlies at Collegian Stadium. Great job by Jacot. Great job by the Broncos coaching staff, and they are the hottest team right now in Division I.
Yeah, hats off to Coach Mike Jacot. He's done a phenomenal job. He talked about that game, and yeah, their numbers were low. Their roster was low. We had no idea what they were going to look like the year after, and then here we are in 2022. Looking like one of the stronger teams in Division One. All right, so let's talk about it, Gabe. It's time. So, Division One. Tell me if I'm wrong. This is what I got for 1 through 12. I know you've written these down as well. So, tell me if I'm wrong or right. Number one, Clovis West. 2, Buchanan. Liberty 3. San Joaquin Memorial 4. All get byes. Central 5. Number 6, St. Joe's. 7, Clovis North. 8, Clovis East, 9, Clovis, 10, Garces, 11, Centennial, and 12, Redwood. Am I wrong? You think that's what it's going to lay out? What do you got?
I have Clovis and Clovis East flip, but it doesn't really matter because they play at La Monica Stadium. So it doesn't really matter either way. Yeah, that's pretty much right. And you know what's funny, Paul? That's the exact same 12 in that order as last week. So, again, I know I talked about this playoff system ad nauseum on my show. But what kind of system does not have any effect from two top five teams losing in back-to-back weeks and the number one team losing last week? Like, this playoff system, the way that it registers upsets and wins and losses, it seems like it's very heavy on early results. It seems like you need to win your games early to set yourself up for later in the season. So, for instance, SJM beating Central, that's huge because now they have the tiebreaker and that's why SJM is 4 and Central's 5. Clovis North losing to Clovis East, I think that Hail Mary not only cost the Broncos a track championship, it also cost them the number 5 seed because that's the only reason in my head why Clovis North isn't number 5, because they lost to Clovis East. Their other losses were to CVC, were to Clovis West, and SJM, and that's it. So it has to be the loss to Clovis East, but I'm pretty shocked, Paul, that Clovis North is still number 7 despite their big victory last night.
Well, it's like, who do you bump them up? So St. Joe's is 6 and Central is 5. And I know you and I, we've had eyeballs on all these teams. We haven't been able to see, looks like Garces, Centennial, and Redwood, right? At least I haven't. So those teams are a little bit of a mystery. We obviously follow them online and through their stats. But yeah, we haven't seen them with our eyeballs. So is there a team out there? So let's talk about the 5 through 12. So it looks like Central's going to play Redwood, St. Joe's Centennial, Clovis North Garces, and Clovis East and Clovis. Out of those teams, you know what, including Central, which of those teams do you think could make a real strong run?
I think Central can make a strong run. I think Clovis North could. Garces is a wild card because they did face the toughest schedule in the Central section with teams like Los Alamitos and Lincoln of San Diego. So I know Garces, they're likely going to draw Clovis North in the first round, and they're going to have to make the trip up to Veterans Memorial Stadium. Those are two very similar ball clubs, Clovis North and Garces. They play the same style. They pride themselves on the big offensive lines they have. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. I think Garces might be a bit of an underdog, but don't overlook them. Centennial has a good offense. I caught a little bit of their game against Frontier on Thursday on the Kern High Network, and Centennial looks pretty good. And Redwood, I know they're facing Central, and these are two very different approaches to football. Redwood loves running through the tackles and pounding the ball, and Central's more of a spread attack. That one might be pretty fun to watch just because of the different clashing styles, but I feel for Redwood because, well, this is a Division II school that's now facing Division I, and this is the second season in a row that it's Central facing a West Yosemite League opponent in the playoffs.
St. Joseph's at number six. They're kind of the mystery team. That's another team that we haven't had eyeballs on this year. And, you know, we follow them online, and we know they got a couple big guys, right? Is there a rumor there's like a 6'7", 320-pound
kid? Who do they play, Paul? Like, yeah. Who do they actually play?
Well, so I'm looking at their Cal Preps right now. St. Joseph's, so let me go back a little bit. So Cal Preps, Central Valley Christian, they're actually ranked number five. We're going to talk about Division II in a second, but they're the number five team ahead of Central and St. Joe's. So St. Joe's, they are 9-1 on the season. Their strength of schedule is 8.3. So then you compare that to Central's strength of schedule at 32.8. So whatever those numbers mean, there's a big gap between those teams. So they do have that loss to Newberry Park. That's their one loss, 31-21. So, yeah, that team's a big mystery. And we know what they did last year. You know, they were the 16th seed in Division II and took Bullard, the number one team, down to the wire. They got stronger as the year went on. I think they added some transfers. But, yeah, to me, they're a big mystery team.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I know they have big guys up front, like you said, but I want to go to CBC real quick. What if CBC petitioned to play in D1? It's totally within their right to do so. I don't think they would, but it would knock Redwood down to D2. And you know what? I think CBC is more suited to play D1 than Redwood is. When you have two future college football players in Bryson Donaldson and Jaden Moore, well, you're going to be able to play with anybody. So you mentioned CBC. They are the 5 seed right now. They beat Clovis North, so they had the tiebreaker over Central and Buchanan. I think CBC, if they petition to play in D1, are they going to lose in the first round? I don't think so. They would draw Centennial in the first round, and I like that matchup for them.
Yeah, that'd be fun, right? I mean, we forget, we're like, well, CBC would be like an 11 or 12 seed. Nope. They'd be high up there. They're ranked 5th overall, according to Cal Preps. All right, so let's talk about Division II. I'm going to go through all 16 teams where I think they're going to land. You tell me where I might be right. You tell me where I might be wrong. So number one, CVC, 2, Kingsburg, 3, Lamore, 4, Hanford. Wow, that is a loaded top four. Then you got Bakersfield Christian, number 5. Number 6, Washington Union, Frontier, 7, Sanger, 8, Lompoc, 9, Dinuba, 10, Paso Robles, 11, Edison. Scary team. I got them at 12. I'm not sure where they're going to land, but man, that is a scary team as well. Let's see. It looks like Ridgeview maybe might be next, and Tehachapi and Tulare Union. I might be missing a team there, but can you help me sort that out a little bit?
That sounds right. Yes, I do have Dinuba as the 9 seed, only because and Kyle Biggs did a great job mentioning this to me on my drive here. When there's a head-to-head tiebreaker, or a common opponent tiebreaker, and there's a team in between, I think you should put that team in between above those two teams in question, because it's not fair to bump them down. He used Shafter, for instance. So I know this doesn't make sense over the air, but just visit our website, 1430ESPNFresno.com, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I think Dinuba at Sanger could be a potential D2 first-round matchup, and I have Ridgeview as the 12 seed over Edison, because Ridgeview beat Bakersfield High School, which beat Edison. So they have the tiebreaker there over the Tigers. And I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but according to sources, the Central Section wants to make the brackets as even as possible. So what that means is they're going to keep Division 1 at 12, but I believe they will have 15 teams in D2, 15 teams in D3, 14 in D4 and D5, and then the remaining 12 will be in D6. That's just my guess, but I'm going off what I heard from a source inside the Central Section that they want to make this an even bracket. They're not looking to put just 12 teams in D2. They want to spread the wealth, so to speak.
Oh, Gabe, you and your sources, man. Look at you. Colin. I love it. All right, so what I see here as well, Gabe, and this is just how wild and wacky this season is. Last year's championship in Division II, Bullard and Bakersfield. Do you believe both those teams will not be in the playoffs this
year? Yes, they're not in the playoffs. Wow. Bullard is not in, and Bakersfield is the first team out. But even if they were to go in, I'm not sure they would want to go in, because they're without their star running back for the rest of the season. I think Bullard and Bakersfield, they're just run down by injuries. They're very young, so maybe in a couple years they'll be back on top. But, yeah, for Bullard and Bakersfield, that's one of the crazier storylines to come out of this playoff seeding, the fact that we might not see either in the brackets.
Both those teams are based Division 1, and both of them went 3-7 this year. So strange Strange deal indeed. Gabe, do you know offhand who you believe the top seeds are going to be in each division, or the top couple seeds in division 3, 4, 5?
Yeah, so it's pretty safe to predict that Mission Prep will be the top seed in Division 3, and you can also say the same thing for Liberty Madera in Division 4. Shout out to the Hawks, by the way, completing a 10-0 perfect season. That is very hard to do. Speaking of perfect seasons, CVC, it's safe to say they will be the top seed in D2. In D5, Bishop is far and away going to be the top seed in D5. Bishop, also a perfect season. Congrats to Bishop. 9-0 is their season record. And then D6... I think Arvin could potentially become the D6 top seed. You might see Mendota drop down from D5 to D6 and become the top seed there. I think that is the least stable bracket because, as I said, those are the leftovers from the rest of the brackets. But right now I have Arvin in my projections as the top seed in D6.
All right. So playoffs start next week already, and championship games will be the day after Thanksgiving. So it's always fun to be practicing the week of Thanksgiving because that means you're playing in a Central Section championship game. All right, Gabe, got about another minute here. Do you have any other thing that surprises you that you think, or that you think people out there might not know about, or any bold predictions?
Any bold predictions? Man, I mean, D2 is going to be such a loaded bracket because you look at the top four, you mentioned it, CVC, Kingsburg, Lemoore, Hanford. I know Hanford just lost to Lemoore, but I still think Hanford is a very, very good football team, not one you want to underestimate. Bakersfield Christian is starting to get on an upswing, and you just look at the D2 bracket right now, and you just can think all these teams can win their first round and go on a run. So I think D2 is going to be very fun to watch. And D1, I mean, after the hectic regular season we just had with the top five beating each other up, I have no prediction on who's going to win it all in D1. I know the Liberty's the favorite because they're the defending champion, but Clovis West, they have a fantastic offense, and their defense is not getting talked about enough. They're a complete team. Buchanan's a complete team. Memorial has, like, maybe the best personnel, or maybe one of the two or three best rosters in the Central Section. Central's on a red-hot streak. I know they just got beaten by Clovis North, but you got to think about what they were doing prior to that. Yeah, that top five for Division One. Paul, I can't even pick a winner right now. I don't know if you can.
No, I can't. And it's going to be so much fun to watch. And, you know, we'll be broadcasting games on 1430 ESPN. We don't know where we're going to go. We're going to wait to see where the brackets land. And we're thinking about maybe a D2 game next week. But wherever we're going to be, we know it's going to be exciting high school football. Good job by you, my friend. We're going to be talking about this all week and for the next 3 or 4 weeks as well. But have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon, Gabe. Good job.
Let me squeeze this in real quick.
We got
Edison at Hanford could potentially be a first-round matchup. I think we should do that one. Just talking out loud, maybe if Gonzo's listening, but if Edison at Hanford happens, that'd be a good one to do.
I'm cool with that. I wouldn't say no. Points aplenty in that one, I believe. All right, so good job by you, Gabe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, talking with Clovis West, head coach Eric Brown. Done a phenomenal job. He's Clovis West through and through. He's an alum of the school, played at Fresno State. Talking about last night's win and the season. You know, what's worked so far for the Golden Eagles and in the future as well. Coming up on 1430 ESPN. The Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN Radio. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Every Saturday, 10 to 12. Wait for that. Here we go. All right. Coach Eric Brown, Clovis West, is in the house right now. All right. Did you play baseball growing up?
I played probably up till 8th grade.
So, you know, the cool thing now is a walk-up song, right? Even high school, you got to get your walk-up song. So, if you were in high school and you played varsity baseball and you were the three-hole hitter, what would you be your walk-up song?
Right now, so my daughters are into, you know, they're at the game, so the Zombie Nation song that comes on at kickoff.
Yeah?
That's what my daughter sings that to me all the time because, you know, they're at the games every Friday night. So it would probably be that. You know, you got the crowd chant
version
of – Zombie Nation. I think that's pretty good.
That is. That's good. And I know you, speaking of your daughter, you got a little dad duty this morning. So coming off a big win,
yeah,
you got to still be a dad.
Oh, yeah. They were fired up last night, but this morning we had to get up and go to gymnastics at Break the Barrier. So I was chasing one around and watching my daughter Harper, get some training in the gymnastic world. So it was cool.
Yeah, I've done that too. Right there, Break the Barriers. Do a great job. Get right near Clovis West campus.
Yep, right there.
Yep, right there. So when you woke up this morning, obviously you, talked to you last night after the game and agreed to come on the show. But when you woke up this morning, what was the first thing on your mind? Are you thinking about the game? Was it tough to fall asleep? And, you just wake up, you're like, hey, we went 9-1 this year. We're going to be the number one seed. We just beat Clovis High in our rivalry game. What was the first thing on your mind?
I think, last night we had a lot of fun, being able to celebrate with the people that helped us get there, with the coaching staff and the administration that really supported us through it. So that was a lot of fun last night to get to do that. And then this morning, kind of looked at my wife and she was, our song right now is Started From the Bottom by Drake. So she started playing that and, we were playing some songs that we thought were pretty funny. And then, my daughters walked in at like 7. So we're up and rolling, but we're excited. We obviously know we still got work to do, but it was a good feeling this morning for sure.
It's been a good whatever. What time is it now? 11:36. A good 16 hours or so, right? Last 16 hours.
Yeah, for sure.
Talking with Coach Eric Brown, head coach at Clovis West High School. So Clovis, coming off of that loss, right? A shocker, and there's no other way to put that. 45-0. You were outplayed in every phase. I mean, there's no other way to skirt that. But to respond in the way that the kids did after that game, it's tough to go 10-0 in any season in any sport. But to be able to respond, what impressed you most about your football team last night?
No, I mean that's what it's all about, is not the adversity that you face, but how you respond to the adversity. And we talked a lot this week. It really gave me an opportunity. Obviously, Central did a really good job, and they're a good football team. And that loss gave me an opportunity to kind of reset our focus. And we talked a lot about being all in, doing everything right. Kind of the talk that I had planned for the playoffs got, accelerated to this week. So I got the guys poker chips, and we kind of made a big deal about – you've got your poker chip and you're going to go all in at the end of the week. We're going to put them on the table. And you got to earn the right to keep your chip and have the ability to go all in. So if a guy was late to a meeting, I was taking his chip away and he had to earn the chip back. And the guys took a lot of pride in it, And so when we hit the field against Clovis, as we're walking out, everybody slammed their chip on the table and we walked out and we hit the field running, and the guys were truly all in. So if we can keep that same focus, and we're going to keep that mindset, I'm kind of a theme guy. I'm weird. I tell the kids I'm crazy. They know I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy. So we're going to keep that same theme and keep it rolling, and we just got to go all in every week.
And I did see that. Yeah, you're crazy. You listen to Drake at 7 o'clock in the morning. So
I
know
I'm crazy.
And
yep.
So in that, I broadcasted the game against Central, and so second half, I wanted to see a little bit more from the kids, right?
Yep.
As far as competitiveness, and it wasn't there. And then last night, I did see it.
Yep.
I saw kids running out, and that chip story is great. I saw them do something interesting. I didn't quite know what it was, but they were fired up.
Yeah.
They were really fired up in that game. Defense played extremely well. What can you say about your defense? Because You play defense well. You're a defensive minded guy. We'll talk about your playing career as well. But defense is a big deal, man. And offenses can go through slumps,
mm-hmm.
right? Offenses can miss passes and make mm-hmm. penalties. But a sound defense can go a long way.
For sure. And if people don't score, they can't win. That's the bottom line. So I'm really proud of the way the guys played on defense. We had enough explosives on offense to get it done, but defensively, for us to have 4 shutouts this year, and some of the offenses we faced, I know you guys were talking about Lemoore earlier, we didn't shut them out, but we did a really good job stopping them, and that's an explosive offense, and I can attest to that. They were really good on offense. you know, our kids have just really learned the scheme. We're able to be really multiple. I would bet that we have more in on defense than anybody. We've got a lot in. We're able to rotate in different ways, bring pressure from anywhere. You know, we go from two high to one high all the time. So our kids just play hard, and they, you know, have some physicality when they get to the party. You know, I like to say that when people run on the perimeter, we want to force them to cut back in, and when they cut back in, there's got to be bears in the woods, right? So we're running full speed to get to those guys, and when they cut back, it's a bad deal for them.
And, you know, Kajavi, or one of your linebackers, Titus, I saw him a lot last night. Gutierrez, number four. Was it your number 54?
Yeah, Brian Evans.
Yeah, Brian Evans. He's all over the field as well. He was one of the nominations for our player of the game last night. But who are some unsung dudes, right? We talk a lot about your star players, right?
Yeah.
They're well-deserved, Marshall Sanders and your quarterbacks. But who are some unsung dudes that just do the dirty work that doesn't get a lot of love that you coaches are like, yeah, we need these dudes. Those are glue guys.
For sure. You guys had him on last week, Deshaun Watts. He's one of those guys. Joey Chacon's one of those guys. I think up front, those guys don't get enough love. And if you watch a Clovis West game or you watch us on film, you won't see one D-line out there. There's multiple guys rotating all the time. You know, and I don't see that a lot as I watch film of other people. You know, it's one group that stays in. Well, I have to rotate because my starting D-line is the starting O-line, you know, and I don't want to take away from what we do on offense. So we've got – and I coach the D-line, so we've got to rotate – throughout the game, you know, every series there's multiple guys going in. So I think all those guys up front, Brian Evans, I will say, has been a really a selfless guy. You know, he's got a lot of toughness to him. He brings a physicality to our team. You know, obviously he's battled some penalties early in the year, and, you know, I think he's really changed. So I'm really proud of him for that. But just the toughness he brings, he's a presence for sure. And, you know, we asked him to play O-line a few weeks ago, and he was all in. He said, let's do it. He's a guy that played tight end, DN, and he's playing O-line for us now too. So
yeah, what I really impressed with your team is how they're flying to the football this year defensively, you know, take away that central game where, you know, the receivers got open. I think your DBs and your safeties are, you know, as good as anybody in the central section as well. But if I last year, you know, let's go back to last year a little bit. kind of like, okay,
do we have to?
A little bit, because I want to talk about the transition that your team has made. So,
yeah.
You know, what, you give up 63 to Clovis and then 70? I know, I'm bringing
it
this up,
like,
right?
It felt like 63 a game, if we're being honest.
It was,
yeah,
right?
It really did,
we have a lot of points late in the season.
Yep.
But, you know, what if I told you then, let's think about last year and what you went through last year towards the end of the year. And then if I were, let's say, the early summer to say, hey, next year you're going to be 9-1, number one seed in the playoffs, outright track champions, what would you have said to that?
Early this summer,
mm-hmm.
I would have agreed and maybe said, I think we got a shot to go 10-0. You know, I could see it coming with our team. You know, the work that they put in the offseason, some of the key transfers that we had come in, it just felt like a winning football team. You know, some of the things we did in the summer, we went to Tahoe camp and got way better. We went and won the 7-on-7 at Fresno State. I knew we had those guys. We had really good skill players, but I could see the development up front and the toughness starting to change on our team. And it felt like a team that, you know, 8-2, 9-1, 10-0 is in the realm of possibility for sure.
Well, you had a lot of – your skill guys, right? We're all the three main receivers.
Yep.
We're all sophomores last year. Now they've grown. They're juniors. Your quarterbacks were young as well, junior and sophomore. Now they're senior and junior. You saw the maturity as well, physically and mentally, right? They knew, right? They knew that they went through some trials, right? 4-8 last year, but they also grew, right? To be the team that they are right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, a lot of credit helping these guys get through what we're going through. We faced a lot of adversity last year. They needed to develop all off season, and I asked a lot of the coaching staff, and I appreciate them and their families for really – they devoted most of their Sundays all through the off season. We ran camps almost every Sunday, and you know, it was voluntary free camp, and whoever wanted to come would come, and we would get work in, you know, and we did it as much as we could legally, and, you know, we got as much work as we could. So I appreciate them, and, you know, what we asked in the weight room from Adam DaCosta, you know, who runs that and is our linebacker special team coordinator. He did an awesome job just getting our guys. And we're not – I'm not sitting here saying we've arrived by any means, but the growth that we've had is really impressive.
And you know the Clovis West and Clovis rivalry
very,
very well.
Oh, you know.
As a player, you know, what are your thoughts about that rivalry? And, you know, just – As a player, you've played in those games. Did you play varsity for 3 years or two years?
So I got pulled up as a sophomore in the playoffs, but I was a two-year varsity.
So you were able to play two games, right?
Yep.
The Clovis West.
Yep.
I mean, just what about the tradition? What do you love about that game and, you know, thinking about your time as a player playing in those games and now coaching in those games?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's kind of – so we had a couple parents come to a tailgate, you know, that we gave as an auction item at our dinner. And some of the parents I was talking to, they're Clovis High alum, you know. So back then, as you graduated Clovis High and you got older, your kids, you're moving towards Clovis West. Well, now it's like the people I played with, their kids are going to Clovis North. So it's interesting how that's kind of played out. But, you know, it's a big deal. You know, there's a lot of alumni that really – are into that game. That's the one that matters. You know, we could have gone, you know, 1-9.
Yeah.
You could flip it and you beat Clovis High and people are
okay,
happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take 9-1 for sure. No, but it's a big deal and our kids know it's a big deal. They're excited about it. Ryan Markarian this week sent me a video of the 95 Clovis West team. And, you know, he's like, these guys were animals. And if you look it up on YouTube, what they're doing is not legal anymore. You know, it's like a targeting every play on the highlight tape.
Yeah.
But they were flying around and they were just whacking people. And you could see Clovis High, that game meant a lot to them. And it meant a lot to our kids last night. They were all in.
Yeah, it was. It's always a fun rivalry game. And, there's stories of coming, you know, dropping the football with a helicopter. And I think the first couple years they were – you know, parachute guys are coming in, and coin tosses are always fun. And the Hall of Fame, right, Hall of Fame ceremonies tonight, Clovis Unified Hall of Fame, and there's some really good inductees, Matt Giordano and Keith Poole, you know, from Clovis High, and George Peterson and Clovis West, and Paige Bowie, Tom Deal.
Coach
I mean,
Deal.
Just, yeah, just absolute legends, and I love this time of year. And fortunately, Fresno State game tonight, so I'm not able to go to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those guys are going to have a great night. And hosted by George Takata, he always does a fun job getting good stories from all
those
guys.
Clovis West grad, George Takata.
Yeah, Clovis West. Clovis West through and through, a good guy.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. He's a lot of fun to talk to. Your playing days, right? So what years did you play? And, you know, I know you won a Valley Championship as a junior, and then senior year didn't quite work out. But what years did you play? And talk about some of those fun teams you played on, Clovis West.
Yeah, so I was there 04, 05 would have been my junior and senior year. So 04, we won it all. We had a really good team. I think we were top 10 in the state or 11 in the state when it was all said and done. And then we were top 50 in the country by the end of the year. So we beat our first game my junior year was at De La Salle, and they had the long streak. They had gotten beat the week before by Bellevue in Washington, but they still had a long streak, probably 10 to 12 years of winning at home. And we went there and beat them. At the time, actually, you know, I tell the kids this sometimes. I was not a starter. I was a special teams player, and I was a long snapper. I ran down on my first punt and made a really good tackle in space, and I started jogging off, and they said, no, stay in. So I stayed in a linebacker, and I finished the game with 12 tackles, a forced fumble, and a pick. So from then on, I was a starting linebacker.
All right.
You know, so, which is a pretty cool thing to look back on. And we ended up going 12-2 that year and winning the CIF.
So De La Salle, at De La Salle, you beat – what was the final score in that game?
I think
we were like a couple touchdowns?
Yeah,
right?
It was in the 30s to the 20s. You know, I think it was 35-21, maybe something like that.
And then the next year.
The next year, they came to our house and we beat them 7-0. Shut them out. There's not many people out there that can say they beat De La Salle twice. You know, there's a few people that could say they beat them once. I don't know if anyone could say they beat them twice other than Clovis West.
And then let's go back a little bit to that junior year. So you guys won Valley, and who did you beat in the championship game?
We beat Stockdale. So we went to Stockdale. They were the one seed. We were the two seed. We lost to Centennial Corona. You know, they were a top five in the state at that time. And we went to their place, and we battled, but they ended up beating us pretty good. And then Edison knocked us off early in the year, too, in our preseason. And then, you know, we kind of – and I talked to the kids this week about it. We needed that loss to wake us up, and we really, from that point, rolled. We didn't lose another game, and we went into the playoffs and, you know, went 1-0 every week and ended up beating Stockdale really, really soundly. Yeah, yep. For a Valley championship.
Who are some dudes on your team that junior year? Because you had a pretty good offense as well.
Yeah. J.J. Jalmini was the quarterback. He was impressive. He could run around. He could throw it.
Baseball guy too, right?
Yep. Yep. Gosh. There's so many. I don't even want to start naming them. You know, the Long brothers played both ways. They brought toughness to the team. Ross Wood was on that team, Buchanan head coach. I'm not going to shout out Buchanan, but Ross is a really good friend of mine. But we had a really sound team. Kyle Duffy ended up kind of similar to me, was a backup and then got the ball a few times and broke a couple touchdowns. And all of a sudden he's a starting running back, and he was maybe the best running back in the Valley. You know, he just kept breaking long runs.
Yeah.
Track guy that, you know, once he hit it, would hit it.
Yeah. Talking with Eric Brown, head coach at Clovis West, and a bit of his playing days. And then so graduate Clovis West, and obviously your affiliation with Fresno State, a lot of great stories with that. But were you offered a scholarship, or did you walk on at Fresno State? What did that look like?
I was a walk-on. So I had a few D2. I was talking to a couple FCS schools. There was potential for offers, and I was sitting in my dad's office. We were kind of talking through, you know, what the plan was. I had visited a few D2 schools, and Coach Hill walks in, and he's like, "What are you even thinking about? Why don't you just walk on here?" I'm like, "Well, I didn't know that was an option, Coach." I mean, I wanted to be a Bulldog for sure, and the opportunity to stay home and play for my dad and play for Coach Hill, who's a legend. You know, I took that opportunity, and I was coming off of an injury. So within my senior year, I tore my labrum in my shoulder. And so staying home gave me the opportunity to gray shirt, so which is you don't start your actual clock. I took less units than, you know, 12, so I'm not a full-time student. And I gray shirted and got healthy and then played as a true freshman, you know, after the gray shirt.
Yeah. So I know, you know, talking about your father and what he meant to you, and, you know, I know Coach Hill speaks highly of you and your family. And obviously your father, and, you know, he said on air, he said it publicly, he's like, those years when your dad was sick were the hardest years of his life. Mm-hmm. And that, man, that, you know, that hit me a little bit too. So, you know, can you talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was really hard. I think I learned a lot from my dad, just how to treat people. And, you know, obviously he was a really good football mind, but everything everyone talks about is how great of a person he was. And I think that's probably why it hit Coach Hill so hard. And it hit my family hard. You know, it's still tough to this day. But the things I got from that situation, you know, the toughness he showed. I mean, he's the guy that went and got brain surgery in August. You know, that's right in fall camp for football. And he shows up a week later at practice with, he's got a big hat on, but underneath the hat, I know there's a shaved head and a bunch of staples, you know, from a fresh surgery. So just the toughness he showed and putting the team first and putting his family first, I'll never forget that.
And I know Coach Hill, you know, is a special man in your life, and, you know, he's probably like another son, right? You're another son to him, and you grew up with his kids and, you know, one big family. But what does Coach Hill mean to you?
No, he is. He's like a father figure, you know, and I learned a lot from Coach Hill, and to be able to play for him and then also to be able to work with him, you know, it's kind of the same thing as I'm starting to get towards graduation and figuring out what I'm going to do next, and this is after my dad had passed, I'm looking into graduate assistant opportunities elsewhere, and Coach Hill kind of had the conversation with me, why are you looking somewhere else? Why don't you take over the defensive GA position here? And I said, I would love to, Coach. I didn't know that was an option. Kind of the same thing. So, I learned so much from Coach Hill, and, you know, I can't thank him enough.
And you've, you coach college the last 10 years, right? About 10 years before you took over at Clovis West. And got a couple more minutes here with Coach Brown. But, transitioning from coaching college and what that went on to, and I know you did a lot of recruiting as well, to coaching high school, getting back to that grind and being on campus and, you know, worrying about academics and all that stuff. Like, what's been the biggest transition? Well, let's just talk about what's been the greatest joy, I guess, with coaching high school kids compared to coaching college, being involved in college football.
You know, there's really a lot of similarities. I didn't know that there would be, but I guess what helped me is I was never at a big-time college. You know, I was never hands-off, where you're just a linebacker coach and everybody else handles the academics and handles the day-to-day stuff for you. So I was at smaller schools, Fresno State, UNLV, Idaho, Indiana State, where within my group, I had to take care of all of that stuff. You know, you have support, but had to handle academics, had to handle the day-to-day and make sure guys were doing right. Had to develop kids. You know, you didn't get ready-made athletes at those places. You got some, but, you know, most of the time you were taking somebody that you had to develop and turn them into a real player. So I think that is kind of what we're doing here. You know, we're developing, we're investing in their academics, we're investing in trying to make them better people. I'm really fortunate. I've got a awesome lady who's really special to me, Kelly Paramo. She works with our kids on their academics all the time, and she was with us at Fresno State with Coach Hill. She just happened to be working in the district, so, you know, I was able to get her on board at Clovis West, and she kind of makes sure that we're able to take care of the kids and get their academics straight and keep their heads on straight, and we're talking constantly. But the difference is there's not a ton other than they're just younger. You know, we're just trying to get them past that point and get them to maturity, and, you know, there's times where me and Kelly will talk and we're both frustrated because we don't feel like any change has happened because they're being slappies, you know, but they snap out of it and they're starting to grow and starting to mature.
And sometimes we forget, we talk a lot about high school kids you know, what you need to do to win a game and toughness and all that, but we forget they're 15, 16, 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, 15 years old. It's crazy.
High expectations for a lot of these kids. All right, got one more question. Coach Brown, this has been a very fun interview. Clovis West will win the D1 Central Section Championship if?
If we go 1-0 every week. You know, honestly, that's what it comes down to. Our kids just have to focus. They have to lock in. They have to go all in. They have to invest. You know, if we want the payout, we have to invest every single day. And if our kids can do that, we have plenty of talent. We have plenty of guys. You know, it's not about the guys. It's about us, you know, locking in and getting it done. And for me, it's the same message I've had all year long, is our number one opponent is ourself. If we can just beat ourself, we're going to win it.
Absolutely. Coach Eric Brown, really appreciate you coming on. Golden Eagles are the number one seed, 9-0, outright track championships. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate you.
Appreciate you. You're awesome.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Paul. We'll be wrapping everything's up. We only got a couple minutes. Get these commercials in on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Thank you guys for listening. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Thank you to First String Sports. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Hernandez, Kyle Biggs, Dayton Tafoya, Coach Eric Brown. Have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.